Bowl 6 happens, Revelation 16 and Matthew chapter 24. Just as before, Satan has no power to cause those and to allow those 200 million to come across the Euphrates River without the permission from the Lord. So at the command of the Lord, the mighty Euphrates will dry up to allow the king of the army of 200 million creatures to move toward the valley of Armageddon to fight with Satan and the supreme president and the false prophet and all their followers against the Lord. The king of the east will be successful in killing one-third of humanity on his journey to Jerusalem, where he will join the forces of evil. Time for another special note. Two mighty rivers cross the Arab nations, the Tigris and the Euphrates. Both are equally difficult to cross. If the army of 200 million creatures begin to move from the east of the Tigris, it will have to cross both rivers. Look at the map with me. Crossing across these Arab nations are these two major rivers, coming out of the Gulf over here, the Tigris and the Euphrates. The way I always remember it is T's on top, Tigris is on top, always that way. These rivers are just as mighty and just as fierce to cross. If my teachers of the Bible were correct in my early years, they taught me that this 200 million army was coming from China. Well, I didn't draw China on the board, but it's way over here. And there is a mountain range between China and coming across this area, which happens to include a little bitty short mountain called Mount Everest that is as high as 747's fly. So let's just be realistic here. If the 200-man army is coming from the king of the east, and that's China, and they can get over that mountain range, flying over it, the Euphrates River is no big deal. You got that? Well, the king of the east is never in the Bible China. The king of the east is always the kings of Iraq, Iran, Media, Persia, Afghanistan. That's the area. Those are the kings of the east. Okay. If you'll see this brown mark, see it come right. It comes right up to Jordan, and there's Israel. This is the country of Jordan today. Comes over, comes up around Mosul, comes down. This is Iraq. What is interesting is if you pull up a Google map, pull up Google Map to get directions, and you pull it up, you're going to see all these names of towns that are right in between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. They are by the boatloads of towns. Now remember, you get a little 50 or 60 miles north of the Tigris, you're in arid country again, kind of deserty. You get 50 miles or even less below the Euphrates, and you're in desert country again. But in between the two rivers, they got plenty of water. They've got plenty of resources. So the king of the east is going to come from this side of the Euphrates, but not this side of the Tigris. Because it doesn't have to cross the Tigris. Because right even today, all the towns are either right on the Tigris or they're right here in the middle. So, why does prophecy not mention the Tigris River in the story? Because the Tigris is mentioned in the Bible. We know it's the Tigris River. It's been the Tigris River for almost all of time. The answer is very simple. The 200 million creature army will come from what we call modern day Iraq, where they will be stationed west of the Tigris, but east of the Euphrates. So I ask you this question. What prophecy must occur that will cause the Euphrates River to dry up? Nothing, because it's already fulfilled. The country of Turkey began back in 1980 to make a plan to put in a series of dams in and on the Euphrates River. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, as I was coming to Sagemont Church, archaeologists were being invited to go to Haran and the surrounding areas of that part of the country there on the Fertile Crescent, there by the Euphrates River, Haran. Remember our famous forefather of the Jews and of us that was stationed there before he was called to go on down the promised land? His name was Abram. He became Abraham, and he left his family, and they named the name of Haran after his dead brother who had died while they were over in the Ur of the Chaldees. They allowed these archaeologists to come and dig, and oh, what they found was just unbelievable. But when the dam was completed and the dam was shut, Haran went underwater. The country of Turkey, which will be one of those 10 countries included in the revived Roman Empire, already has a system of dams that can completely cut off the water supply to the Euphrates River. And in fact, in June of 2014, because of what was going on with ISIS, with that conflict, Turkey closed those dams and the water into the Euphrates River went to record lows, almost dried up in certain places. So we know it can happen. Because of the revived Roman Empire will control Turkey at that point in time, whenever it is time for those 200,000 men armies, creatures to come across that Euphrates River, it is no big deal. They will simply close the dam, dry up the Euphrates, and across they will go over to join Satan in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Armageddon. But on the way, they will destroy and kill a third of humanity. Two important cities are on the Tigris River. In fact, on both sides of the Tigris River, the Tigris River runs through them. One is the town of Mosul, and the other is the town of Baghdad. Baghdad is currently the capital of Iraq, with a population of 7,200,000+. That was recorded in 2011. Mosul is 400 kilometers north of Baghdad on the Tigris River. In 2014, when ISIS went into Mosul, 500,000+ Christians and some other people ran from Mosul. It didn't matter. 1,000,000+ people remained in the city of Mosul that were not Christians, that were Muslim, because of the occupation of that group, ISIS. Even with their exit, more than 100 or 1 million remained there. Under ISIS, over the next 12 months, the city grew to 2.5 million people in that year. Mosul is a powerful city now, more powerful than it has been ever since it was a powerful city in the Assyrian Empire. It was and is built around the old, great, powerful city called Nineveh. You'll see on that map there, the ruin area that is plainly evident of the old Nineveh remains that are all, some of y'all have been there, that are all destroyed. During the Assyrian Empire, Nineveh was its capital. When Nebuchadnezzar conquered the Assyrian Empire in 612 BC, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the city and did not leave one single brick on top of one another. In fact, that city has remained that way without a brick on top of another unto this very day. However, nearby, the city of Mosul was established in 225 AD and has continued to grow, and now its suburbs surround the ancient ruins. If you look in that very far out picture of the old Nineveh area, you can see the houses and everything that are built around the ruins. Virtually meaning that Nineveh has been rebuilt, and the prophecies tell us that Nineveh has to be rebuilt before the second coming of the Lord, because the Lord is going to do something to Nineveh before he does something to the Edomites before he lands at Armageddon. All that remains to be fulfilled. All that remains is just for this major city to become a major capital. And you watch. Mosul is about to become the capital of the ISIS nation. That's what's going to happen. Well, I want to show you one other thing. This is just a side thing. Just an interesting thing. In between Mosul and Baghdad is a town, the ruins of a town called Samarra. You see that tower that is built there where people are walking up that tower? The ruins of Samarra are there located on the Tigris River. This is just a side interesting note. This is kind of a rabbit, but I thought it was interesting. Good place to put it. Samarra is the area where the king of Assyria deported people back over to the northern kingdom. While the southern kingdom is still in place, he's taken the northern kingdom into exile in 722 BC, and he's grabbed some of these Samarra people, and he's moved them over into the northern kingdom. They begin to intermarry with the uneducated, poor, and destitute that were left behind by the Assyrian king whenever he took the northern kingdom into exile. By the time that Jesus arrives up in the area in between the Judah and the Galilean area, he asks a woman at the well to give him water. You know who that, you've heard that story. She is called the Samaritan woman. Now, there is a city that was there that was called Samaria, but that city was not named because of the Sumeri people that were brought in. That city was named during the time of the northern kingdom. Rather, she is a Samaritan woman because her bloodline is half of the people from Samaria that the king of Assyria took out of here and imported them into this area north of Jerusalem. They intermarried. So the name Samaritan does not come from the city or the town called Samaria. It comes from the Sumara people whose bloodline has married into the Jews, and the full-blooded Jews cannot stand them because they've got the blood of the Samarra people inside of them. Today, it is one of the most holiest Islamic sites, and this is just one of the major building projects that is still there of the ancient ruins. Well, going on. Back to our timeline. This 200 million creature army and the four dreaded angels will not be enough to satisfy Satan and his desires and his demands. He will want everyone who has pledged their loyalty to him and taken the mark of 666 to join him there in the valley to fight against the Lord. Satan, the beast, that's the supreme president, and the false prophet will send word to everyone in the world to come and fight against the Lord in the Valley of Armageddon. John knows absolutely nothing about modern day communications. Oh, he knew about his modern day communications, but not our modern day communications. And he only can describe what he sees in his vision as follows. Now he describes. Remember, the Lord knows what's going to be used. The Lord shows what's going to be used. And John has to describe what he's never seen before. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast, the supreme president. That's, I added that. And out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. And they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. You ever seen a flip phone? Looks kind of like a frog. By the way, my father died in 1967. Never saw a remote control. If he did see a remote control, he would have thought it was very magical. Just think about what he probably would have thought about with a flip phone. And all the magic and all the evil that John could hear being said over that phone to draw people. That was magical to John. Well, we can only speculate that it was a flip phone. We don't know what it will be. We don't know what. You know, it was all about having a small phone. And then it was all about having a big phone. And now they've got these little, looks like you're carrying around an iPad on your ear when you're trying. And guess what's going to happen? Because it's just like everything else. You know, we go from big ties to small ties, to big ties to small ties, to medium-sized ties, to big ties to small ties. You know, we go from balloony pants to not pants. We go from bell-bottoms to we don't ever want bell-bottoms again. And then we try to bring them out. We don't want them, so they go away. And phones are going to get small and big and small and big, and now you can put them on your wrist. Well, you can't do it on your wrist without having one on your side that goes along with your. It's just interesting. Whatever it is, John is simply describing what he sees. Nevertheless, the call will go out and to the world, and everyone who comes to join in the war that they are planning will have the mark of the beast on them. They are not really planning this war, because this war has been planned by the Lord for a long, long time. Seven bowls, seven trumps, and seven seals are all that's left. That's where we are in the timeline. Once the army of Satan has finally gathered, we're getting towards that last day of the 5 months before the day of the Armageddon. They're gathered there in the valley of Armageddon, and the forces are in place to fight against the Lord. They're there. His army will cover every inch of the valley. One-third of humanity has been killed by those 200 million. The four angels are there, and everyone that has taken the mark of the beast is there. They're in the valley, shoulder to shoulder. Millions upon millions of men and women are there from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. They will have the brand of the 666 on their foreheads or on their right hands. And in their arrogance, they will stand there believing that they have the power to conquer the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings when he arrives. And they know how it's going to happen, because Satan has seen the manuscripts. The Bible, he knows. Seal 7 is broken. The Lord, the Lamb of God, breaks the seventh seal, and the angel throws a golden censer down to the ground, and an earthquake will soon occur, the most violent earthquake that is ever to occur on the earth, and the wrath of the Lord will begin with darkness and with gloom covering the entire earth. The sun will be blacked out. The moon will be red at night, and the stars will begin to fall from the sky. Trump 7 is sounded simultaneously. The Lord will command the seventh trump to blow, and the universe will know that the kingdom of the world, or the kingdoms of the world, will have in essence become the kingdom of our Lord. And in heaven, the 24 elders will fall to worship the Lord God. That is the Ancient of Days. That is the Father, God the Father. And as the clouds in the sky begin to churn, they will split open, and the heavens will be opened and revealed. The original Ark of the Covenant will appear, and Israel will see it as well as everyone else. Lightning will begin to strike Israel. The earthquake will begin to shatter and change the topography of the earth and the land, and the hail will begin to storm down on the inhabitants gathered in the valley of Armageddon. But the Lord calls for bowl 7 to be poured, and that is the wrath of God to begin, to be dispensed on all those who have gathered to, to oppose him. And at this point in the story, John tells of hearing a voice crying out from within the temple saying, "It is done. All will be ready for the great day of God, the Almighty, the battle of Armageddon. It will then be time for the Lord to deliver his tempest of torment upon his enemies." The seventh bowl story indicates that the earthquake of the seventh seal will split the great city of Jerusalem in thirds, two of which will be destroyed. The quake will also begin to destroy the revived Roman Empire, although hail falling on the people gathered there in the valley to fight the Lord will become large, huge chunks of ice, 100 pounds big. The people in the valley of Armageddon will not see the errors of their ways and repent. Rather, they will simply increase their blasphemous words about the Lord. Lightning will begin to dominate the skies. Thunder will rumble through the air. Islands will begin to shift. Mountains will begin to crumble. Those in the valley will begin to worry finally. They ought to be worried as all this stuff happens around them. In their fears, they try to hide, but hiding will not help them. Some will cry for death to come quickly and from the falling rocks and from the mountains instead of waiting for the Lord's appearing. Eternal fear will rightfully rest in the hearts of everyone who bears the mark of the 666. Now I want to remind you of something that most people don't remember. I want to remind you of the conditions of Satan's army as they stand in the Valley of Armageddon. Satan's army may be well armed to the hilt with powerful arms, with nuclear weapons and missiles. But his soldiers are not pristine by any means of imagination. The 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation will bring retaliation upon his soldiers, Satan's soldiers, for what they have done. Starting with the massacre at the Battle of Gog in the middle of the 3.5 years, middle of the 7 years, Satan's soldiers will have to endure the stench of the rotting flesh of the dead bodies for 7 months. With modern bulldozers, it would seem that it would not take 7 months to scoop them up and to bury them in a mass grave. That just tells us how big the magnitude of the death on both Satan's and the Supreme President's army side and on the side of the Northern Kings is. It is a huge mess, a massacre on both sides. As previously covered in this lesson, the scripture indicates that they have had to endure famines, pestilence, hail, fire, brimstone, loathsome sores, seas full of dead creatures, fresh water sources that have turned rancid, scorching sun, gnawing tongues, the absence of sunlight, the darkened moon, the hidden stars, the stings of the locusts, and the ever-present heavy hand of the apostate religion, which by now has been voted out and is no longer in control. The army of the 200 million creatures from the east have traveled over 800 miles to settle in the shoulder-to-shoulder confines of the Valley of Armageddon. And in the last days of the buildup, Satan's soldiers will array themselves in the valley, totally void of natural light from the sun and the moon and the stars both day and night. Lightning and thunder will surround them. The earth will shake. The islands will move. The mountains will be crumbling, and the 100-pound hailstones will begin to pound on them. It is obvious from the hail that the clouds in the sky will be churning with great rage. Many, many will be trying to hide themselves and will be crying for a quick death in caves and everything else. Their fate is sealed when they pledged their loyalty to the Satan, the Supreme President, and the false prophet by taking the mark of the 666 3.5 years earlier. The Lord and His bride. The church and the bride, who is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, will have been absent from all the episodes of the past 7 years. She was snatched away at the end of her engagement. Remember, we're part of the church, but the church is just engaged to the Lord right now. We haven't gone to the wedding ceremony. Oh, but then they have been in the wedding, in the holy union of marriage with the Lord for 7 years. No one today has ever seen the bride, the church of the Lord, fully revealed. I don't really know whether you're part of the church or not. Only I can take your testimony as to whether you are or not. Anyway, at that point in time, everyone will see her in her glory. You will know that everyone who is part of that bride is truly part of the splendor. They'll be clothed in righteousness, the righteous acts of the saints, adorned with her crowns, every one of us, and jewels. The bride will exit the bridal chamber with her groom, and she will be a prepared army, a mighty host, arrayed like no other army ever seen. Israel will be ready for the Lord and his bride to appear. She will follow the instruction of the Lord found in the prophecy of Joel. Gather the people, Joel 2 says. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gathering the children and the nursing infants. That's a word to Israel. Why? Because it says, let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. And they've been waiting for that. Well, it's the last day. It's the last day. Armageddon is going to begin today in our story. The Lord has come out of the chamber and he is sitting on a cloud. And the Lord, when he sits there, he has got a sickle in his right hand. You see that picture off the side on my screen. I'm going to add it to your notes before I publish them tonight. The sixth angel, there are six angels who are talking to the Lord at this point in time. And they are encouraging him to take that sickle and to cut into the enemy army that is situated there in the Valley of Armageddon. And they're requesting that he cut out the grapes of wrath and throw them into the great winepress of the earth. That's the way the scripture calls it. There's also an angel that's flying around in the mid-heavens. The mid-heavens are between here and what we call space. Once the Lord sits on the clouds, this angel begins to fly underneath the clouds where Satan's army can see him, as well as visible to everyone else who is in the world who's not accepted the call or the mark of the beast. He will proclaim the gospel of the Lord one more time for every human on earth to hear, and it will be proclaimed by this angels. Especially those who have not taken the mark and have not joined there in the battle, they will hear it too. And there, Satan's men will refuse to do anything because they already have the mark and they can do nothing. There's an angelic warning to those who have that mark, the 666. One of the six angels will announce to everyone in the Valley of Armageddon that day, that morning, this: anyone who has the mark of the beast will drink the full wrath of God and be tormented in fire and brimstone. There's an angelic call to reap the clusters. So the sixth angel calls out to the fifth angel to use his sickle to cut down into the clusters of grapes of the vines on the earth there in the people who are gathered in the Valley of Armageddon to cast them into the wine press outside the city of Jerusalem. When that happens, the blood of that cutting will rise as high as the horses' bridles. It will occur within the hour. Within the hour it will occur. Jesus has words for Israel about his coming. He says this: and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the seas and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of these things which are coming upon the world. For the power of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. It is 12 o'clock noon, and it is time for the second coming to begin. How do I know that it is 12 o'clock noon? Well, that's the first thing that's in part five when we see you next week as we study that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for just being able to go through the details of the gathering that's going to take place. You've given us so much information, and you've revealed it to us. And even though we're just on the gathering committee to be part of the bride, it's also good to know about what is going to happen while we are with you there in heaven. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all. In your name, amen and amen and amen.